Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angel. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
How's it going, everybody? My name is Patrick Zajac, your host of Locked On Angels, minor league play-by-play broadcaster and first row rider of the emotional sports roller coaster that is Angels baseball. Welcome to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, LockedOnSports.com, your team every day. Locked On Angels, where you can find the show and our main site. Man, continuing to spiral are the Angels right now. A 7-4 loss at the hands of the Arizona Diamondbacks in game one of their quick two-game set. Jaime Barea hit hard in the first two innings, giving up a couple of home runs. And then after a three spot in the fourth inning, things just never really recovered for the Angels, despite dishing out 12 base hits as an offense. But the big story, 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position, which seems to be a reoccurring problem. Not too many thoughts about the game. I don't want this episode to turn into a game recap. The main story I want to talk about in our main segment today is the news that doctors and the Angels are very optimistic about Shohei Ohtani, his recovery process to this point. So I want to talk a little bit about that in segment one. Then Tuesday, that means it's down on the farm report for the week. Updates for you on Joe Adele and Jose Suarez, as well as Matt Theis. So tune in for that. And then lastly, following it up, the Nationals making a trade for Kelvin Herrera, taking another bullpen arm off of the trade deadline market, the trade market, and leaving the Angels with not too many options. Well, still plenty of options out there in terms of the bullpen arms, but as the team spirals out of control, perhaps Billy Epler chooses to wait and not, you know, risk giving up a ton of prospects for a team that isn't going to get it done this season. My thoughts to close out today's episode. But first, we begin with the news on Shohei Ohtani. Halos, quote, very optimistic about his recovery. Ohtani's still going to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks after receiving the platelet-rich plasma and stem cell injections that was received from Dr. Yoon last week. And that the quotations, the very optimistic part of that prognosis, comes from the Angels medical staff and Dr. Yoon. So encouraging after his grade 2 UCL sprain. He's already begun a rehabilitation regimen, including one-arm swings, running and general strength training. And so it seems as if right now everything's going to plan, right? But at the same time, you know, very well could be that 2 to 3 weeks, Ohtani begins some sort of throwing program maybe, you know, or in rehab, and we find that he's still going to need Tommy John surgery. Who knows? We still don't know. Mike Socia didn't provide a specific timeline on Ohtani's recovery process, only that he would be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. So, and he also didn't talk about, as well, when asked on Monday, whether Ohtani would be used as a hitter if that elbow sprain prevented him from pitching. He did mention, however, that, quote, the swing is not impacting his ligament at all. So I would imagine more than likely, even if, again, I'm no medical expert, but even if he needs Tommy John surgery and that keeps him out of pitching not only this year but next year, that we could still see Ohtani the hitter the rest of the season. And I think even if we get half of the Ohtani that was promised, we get the hitting version of Ohtani, more than welcome in the lineup. I think he slots in perfectly right behind Albert Pujols in that five spot, creates some balance, creates some length in the lineup, and another RBI power threat, because Shohei Ohtani on the season with runners in scoring position has been phenomenal, an average over 350 in that regard, racking up the RBIs when he gets the opportunities, and I think would provide a lot of protection behind the top four guys in the Angel offense, which a lot of times, especially over the past month or so, it's been just that top three or four in the lineup that are producing. With all the injuries that have hit the squad, and I know Andrelton Simmons is back now, with all the injuries that has hit the squad, that bottom half of the lineup is not what Billy Epler had envisioned, with Luis Valbuena struggling, Zach Cozart now out, and I know David Fletcher has done all right in his wake. In yesterday's ballgame, Fletcher coming on as a pinch hitter with Luis Valbuena and Andrelton Simmons getting the starts at short and third. That's definitely going to be the thought moving forward. I would anticipate David Fletcher's days are numbered at the big league level, especially if Zach Cozart can come back from his disabled list stint as of right now. But Shohei Ohtani, you know, I know, yeah, news comes out that they're very optimistic about his recovery. I still am not anticipating Shohei Ohtani pitching this season just because, let's say, even if the PCP and stem cell injections go well, are you really going to move him along that quickly to get back on the mound pitching again this year? Why not give him the rest of the season to recover, a whole off season to recover, make sure that this kid is ready to go to pitch for a full season? And if he can provide you with something at the plate this year, that's absolutely fine. I would love nothing more than that. It is what it is, man. I don't think that we can expect too much from Shohei Ohtani this season moving forward. A grade 2 UCL sprain is not something to be messed with. Don't want it to turn into a grade 3 because Tommy John at that point becomes an absolute certainty. So still holding out hope for Shohei Ohtani the hitter. Not much for Shohei Ohtani the pitcher as of right now, despite the optimistic news. But maybe that's just me looking at the glass half full or half empty. It would be half empty, right? Because I'm taking the pessimist point of view. In any case, segment number 2 features the Down on the Farm report. But first, you guys want to sponsor the show? Know someone that does? Hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Orange County, Anaheim guys, looking at you. Small business owners, hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. All right, studs and duds of the weekend was yesterday. Tuesday means the Down on the Farm report. Want to talk about three guys specifically. Matt Theis being the first. Matt Theis, just a quick update on him, hitting a go-ahead grand slam in the top of the ninth inning for Triple-A Salt Lake. Even though the Bees bullpen ended up blowing the lead in the bottom of the frame, that home run was Matt Theis's fifth in 22 games at the Triple-A level. And if you guys remember, that was the big knock on Matt Theis being drafted out of the University of Virginia. You know, it was a thought that he was a high contact guy, could spray the ball to all fields, but that the power wasn't quite there yet. And now we get to a situation where Matt Theis, not only driving the ball at Triple-A Salt Lake, but this is something that he's done all season long. 11 home runs in 62 games this season. That includes his time in Double A. Now 23 years of age. He was 2-for-5 yesterday, and he was hitting in the leadoff spot, interestingly enough, for Triple A Salt Lake. So definitely something to monitor moving forward. I am, as you guys know, very excited for Matt Theis to continue his ascension atop the minor league level, and I still do believe he will be on the Angels 25-man roster come opening day 2019. I feel like this Down on the Farm report always features Joe Adell, and why not? He's one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting prospect in the entire Angels system, especially now that Shohei Ohtani, I never really considered him a prospect at this point. But, you know, Joe Adell now spending less than 2 months at Class A Burlington, got the promotion up to Class A Inland Empire back on May 20th, so now over a month ago. And now, overall, hitting .303, 13 home runs, 10 stolen bases in 47 games. Dude can do it all, right? Power to mash 450-foot bombs, can run a 60-yard dash in 6.4 seconds, and a power arm in the outfield, which isn't surprising. And I didn't know this. I was reading up more on Joe Adell last night. But as a high school pitcher, fastball clocked between 92 and 94. So dude has an absolute cannon in the outfield. And he continues to mash. The excitement has not been subdued for Joe Adell as he hit 4 home runs over this past week and earning a spot on the MILB's Pipeline Team of the Week. So awesome news for Joe Adell. Continues to mash. And again, the dude is still just 20 years of age, or 19 years of age now still, as he was drafted out of high school with the 10th overall pick last year. He continues his rise and ascension in the Angels minor league system. And lastly, a guy I want to get to, lefty Jose Suarez. You know, a guy that I think I've talked about maybe once or twice in the Down on the Farm report has made seemingly the biggest leap forward this year in the entire Angels system. And a guy that I really see a lot of Jaime Barria in, but with better stuff, quite frankly. If you guys recall last year, Jaime Barria, at just 20 years of age, rose quickly in the Angels system, started in low A and then finished at double A, and now on the big league roster at just 20 years of age. Jose Suarez making a very similar leap from Inland Empire to double A Mobile to triple A Salt Lake within the first 2 months of this season. A guy that's seen as having an advanced feel for pitching and a knack for missing bats. But again, big pitchability in Barea, but much better stuff. Fastball that averages 92 and sometimes touches 95 with an 81-mile-an-hour changeup with good deception and sinking action. And third pitch, a curveball. So very similar types of pitches to Barea, but a little bit higher velo there, especially with the fastball. Strikeout rates have jumped from 5.7 when he first started from a couple years ago to now 11.8, or as that was in 2017, a 12.8 strikeout rate per nine innings in 13 starts across the three levels this season. And he continues to produce at Salt Lake, where he has struck out 11 hitters in 17 and two-thirds innings at that level. Overall on the season now, a 3.04 ERA across all three of those levels. That's just over 56 innings pitched and a 2.64 average against him. Expect to possibly see, as we, you know, sort of unexpectedly got with Jaime Barria this season, maybe Jose Suarez next season factors into the big league rotation at some point, and maybe even this season if injuries continue to pile up in the Angels starting rotation. But Jose Suarez continuing to make big strides in the Halos minor league depths. And that's just awesome to see all around the Angels farm system, because as always, this is the future. Billy Epler has done a great job putting a lot of talent, time, investment into the minor leagues from when he first started. And it is paying dividends right now as the Angels try and weather the storm of the big injury bug at the big league level, and as of right now, not exactly going to plan, with the team losing six of their last seven going back to that series in Seattle. They need to start picking it up, because you're now 8.5 games out of a playoff spot, and I feel like I've been saying they need to start picking it up for quite some time now, but time is running low. You're not at the halfway point quite yet of the season, but the All-Star break less than a month away, and that's sort of where the contenders are separated from the pretenders before the end of July trade deadline, at which, who knows if the Angels make a move at this point, because maybe at that point Billy Epler doesn't see them as full-blown contenders and tries to retool the roster to make another run, shaping them up for a run in 2019, and that could just be our reality come July. Time will tell if this team can get it done, but needs to improve. Felix Pena will get to start against the Diamondbacks on Tuesday. And to close out today's episode, to finish things off, I want to talk about the Nationals acquiring Kelvin Herrera after these messages. So the Nationals getting after Kelvin Herrera. Took three prospects to get him, none inside the Nationals' top 10 prospect, or maybe one of them, if I recall correctly, was number 10 in their system. So not entirely sure if that's something that I would be comfortable with Billy Epler doing. You know, I know there's a lot more talent in the National system than there is the Angel system, so maybe those prospects viewed a little bit better. So you'd have to give up even higher prospects if you were Billy Epler and the Angels in order to make that happen. But three prospects for a rental reliever, that's a lot to give up, my friend. So nonetheless, it all goes back to what I was saying earlier, right? How does Billy Epler currently view this team? Does he still believe that this roster can contend this year? And if so, what sort of move at the trade deadline is he going to make? I believe the Nationals gave up their 10, 11, and 12 prospects. And for the Angels, I'm using MLB.com's prospect rankings for this. That would be some sort of combination of Jesus Castillo, Jose Suarez, who I just mentioned, Jose Soriano, right-handed pitcher, and if you want to go down, Taylor Ward also there at 13. That would be a lot to give up for a rental reliever, especially for a team that is 8.5 games out of a playoff spot. But, you know, bullpen arms are going to cost a lot to acquire. They are by far what almost every contender needs, it seems. There's still a lot of arms out there. You got the trio in Baltimore that I've mentioned before with Zach Britton, Darren O'Day, and Brad Brock, if the Angels want to go that route. You also got Brad Hand for the San Diego Padres. So there are still plenty of options out there. Those are just a handful of names that we've talked about, and I've mentioned a couple of others on this show, I believe, last week. So there are still options out there. Billy Epler does have time to sort of wait and see if this roster is going to show that they are going to contend this season, so he can invest in the big league roster and sort of take the risk of getting rid of a couple prospects that continue to rise through the Angel system. But as of right now, I don't know if you can make that move. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's for a starter. Who knows how long Garrett Richards, Nick Tropiano are going to be out. We haven't heard many updates from Matt Shoemaker either. Shohei Ohtani doesn't look like he's going to pitch. It could be that a starting pitcher is slowly making its way to becoming more valuable or more sought after for the Halos big league club than the bullpen, even though you probably need a bullpen arm or two to round out the back end of the pitching staff as well. So a lot of different options, a lot of different questions, man. There's a lot that has been tough to watch for this Halos club as of late, but still above 500, still a shot at the postseason. I don't care what anybody says, but time is certainly ticking on the Halos 2018 season. That's going to do it for today's episode. My name's Patrick Zajac. Guys, you can follow the show at Locked On Angels. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. I got to get out of here, man. I got, depending on what time you guys are listening to this podcast, I'm recording early in the morning before the Poland World Cup game. Super psyched for it. I got to get out of here so I can go watch them take on Senegal. Take it easy, guys. Peace.